It is time for the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. You'll find them on the web, tqag.com. And son of a gun, the moon, the stars, the earth have all aligned. They're in the same place, I think, at the same time.
Well, let's just say we're somewhat here on the same time. Tim is actually driving. He's on his way to the dentist before he gets on an airplane and flies to
East Lansing, Michigan. Well, to Detroit. Yeah.
Oh, yay. God. I tell you what. We have to start a new puzzle. Where's Tim?
Right.
We won't make you wear that stupid outfit, though.
Oh, that's a good thing. Thank you. Yes, last week was all over the country. I was in Aspen and then in Los Angeles and then came back. So we are rocking and rolling. There are a number of doing estate appraisals, insurance appraisals, just gift tax. You know, it's getting close to tax time. So a lot of people are really gearing up to take care of a lot of things that they might have pushed off for a couple of months. So we are ready, willing, and able. We'll show up wherever we need to go.
All right. So now we're gonna talk basically a high end today, at least in the beginning, because I found this story particularly interesting. A fugitive billionaire, Joseph Lau, is auctioning off millions of dollars in art and wine. Why? He's trying to make up for stock market losses. Sotheby's Hong Kong is offering 8 pieces of Chinese imperial porcelain from the Ming. That's all you have to hear, something from the Ming Dynasty.
Right.
And you know, you've made it. So this is it's pretty amazing that that someone who, what are they, a fugitive, I don't know if they use the term lightly or not, but hey, I guess if you collect this stuff, this is the time to get rid of it.
Well, this brings up an interesting question in my mind. If he's a fugitive, how can they contact him if he's on the run?
That's funny. He was convicted in absentia of bribery and money laundering in 2014, and here's why. Because the city does not have an extradition agreement with Hong Kong, where he lives, he never had to serve his 5-year sentence, and that's why, as long as he stays there, he can be in contact with them and do this.
Right.
Wow. Oh, wow. Somehow, that just seems to just dance on the line.
Greg, what you don't understand is obviously when you have this much money and you really research where you want to live.
Yeah, I suppose.
Absolutely. It's not just us looking at the 9 states that don't have state income tax. This is a much bigger thing.
Yes, exactly.
Especially if you're a money launderer. Okay, where can I go where I can't be touched?
Right. Right. But do you see, that's one of the D's that we do for appraisals, but it's also good for consignment, is debt. When you're in debt, it's like, okay, guess what? I guess he had some bad information or had some losses. So now he's liquidating. And I love what you said, Marshall, is Ming. As soon as you hear Ming Dynasty, yeah. Add a couple zeros.
Now I know there's a chef. There's a chef Ming, and I love Chef Ming, but that's not he's not the first thing I think about when I hear Ming. It's the Ming Dynasty, and somebody's got a lot of money.
Right.
Well, you know, that is true, but in our years of doing this, I can't begin to tell you how many times I have a Ming vase. Well, right. It looks like a Ming vase, but it's just for a 99-cent Tuesday morning vase. What do we say, Tim? The difference between vase and vase
is $25. Oh, yeah. Below 25, it's vase.
Well, it's once again, that is my lead-off story. But then I want to go to the Louvre. They were going to sell Chardin's strawberry painting for $26.8 million. Nope, they're not going to do it because it's been declared as a French national treasure.
National treasure, right. Mm. I was just going to say that. But, yeah.
Well, I think
interesting
that's
interesting that they can qualify these works of art, and the museum now is going to have to, you know, they probably needed it for either acquisitions or some other things for money. But yeah, that's.
Well, there we spoke a little bit about this, I think, last week, where, you know, where is the line between keeping your doors open and just trying to focus your collection and what it is, you know, your mission is. But when you get to this level, you know, I guess we don't exactly know why they want to sell it, but you know, after what's happened in the past 2 years, and a lot of these institutions have been closed down for a long time, so I think it'll be interesting to see how what's behind these stories about museums trying to deaccess items to keep to raise money, and what they're going to use it for if it was indeed an effect of the past 2 years. So I think we might be starting a new direction in what's happening after COVID, especially with the arts and museums in general, because people haven't been giving as they did prior, and no one has been visiting as they did prior. So I'm sure that's cut into a lot of the decision making for museums, and it's probably going to continue for several years.
Well, sure, but this is also the French government declaring this a national treasure, and you can't sell it. So,
well, I know, but that's a great way to get around, you know,
right.
not selling something.
I would imagine they do the same thing with the Mona Lisa.
You know, I think. You know, occasionally I think countries have to do that. I think things are national treasures, and it goes beyond, especially if you're a museum, having to raise money. Well, then try to raise money otherwise. See if the government can help you, whatever mm-hmm. way. But there are certain things that if they're sold, they're out of view forever for most people.
Yes, and you know how I feel about that already. You know, and how strongly I feel about that. These things should be seen. These are not just national treasures. A lot of these things are global treasures, and to be able to see them is what they're meant to do. You know, that's their purpose. Yeah. So, yeah. I would hate to see something like this happen with if this were indeed going to go up for auction. But I'm glad they were able to declare this status, and I'd like to find out what's behind getting something declared. That would be an interesting conversation.
I think probably once the Louvre announced this, people like they were with the Berkshire Museum when they announced that they were deaccessing thing, people complain, they get really upset, and if they don't get the right answers they want from the Louvre or any other museum, then they go to government. They go to authorities.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then also, it's also, I'm sure there are people on the board, on these boards, a number of people who, there are some who are for deaccessioning for certain reasons, and there are some who are just diehard, no, we can't sell this because this should be declared a national treasure. But there again, I would still like to find out what qualifies as a national treasure, and it's, I think it's a great way to keep to make things not be able to be available for sale. So
right, that's it could be a slippery slope. So what's the criteria? Is, you know, the artist, the years that it was in the museum, you know, what is that criteria? That is an interesting point, Greg.
All right. Now Christie's has an auction coming up beginning on May 9th. And even I have heard of this artist, Ann Bass. She passed away, probably a couple of years ago. Every year seems like everything happened in the last year for me, but I think it was a couple of years ago. they're expected to raise over $250 million from this auction.
That's coming up.
May 9th.
It's coming up. Yes, May 9th. Yeah. It did come across my email this morning from Live Auctioneers. So the articles. So, that should be an interesting thing to keep an eye on because, just based on the article itself, it looks like it's, the items that she has other than this painting, I don't know if she has other things in the sale, but this is really quite a big sale to have this because she has Rothko's and Degas and the auction, I think we're going to probably see some records made at that auction.
Well, a lot of it is, too, that it's especially curated by this individual. It took however many years to amass the collection. All of those things play into the provenance, and it's probably been a while since a number of these pieces have been seen.
Yeah, because she started...
That also drives prices.
I think she's been collecting for like 40, 45, maybe 50 years.
Right.
So all of her things have been a lot of them have not been seen for all that time. And there again, it goes back to the thing we were just talking about, squirreling things away. So
squirreling the right things away.
Well, that's true. That's very true. That's very true. So I want to see how this, especially the Rothko's. I'm interested in those. But
right.
Our checkbook is too small for those.
Now, remember we talked about Moondust being auctioned off possibly?
Yes.
NASA tried to stop it, saying that, once again, here we go, that it belonged to the people. But nope, it's been decided that it can go out for auction. It's from Neil Armstrong, the Apollo 11 mission. And Christie's is going to do this. I do believe it's Christie's that's going to auction it off. Is it? I'm not sure now because I don't. But I know that they're expecting to make a lot of money off this, possibly even $1 million.
Wow. Space stuff is... especially if it's coming from Neil Armstrong's, if it's off of his suit, well, I'm sure that it's going to be. I think some of this stuff has sold in the past, but they have to get the blessing of NASA. So this asks the question: why did NASA decide that this particular thing could go up for auction?
Well,
especially, and some other things didn't.
Especially if you look at the history, a lawyer, Nancy Lee Carlson, purchased the item online, listen to this, for $995 from a U.S. Marshals office sale in 2015. She got it that way, and NASA said she should return it. She sued, and she won. So it's interesting because another sample was sold at Sotheby's, marking the 48th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission. That received $1.8 million worth of premium.
Wow.
Well, I don't think anything's come up for quite a while because of all of these, NASA fights. I mean, there have been things that have been mentioned as going to be for sale, but they all somehow get stopped. And it's interesting because I don't know if you've ever seen it's the dust is collected on tape. So you literally have just molecules.
Here's what makes this one interesting. It is a container, and it's got it, and it's got four little round things in it. That's got the lunar surface
samples.
In it.
Yeah, right. So it has the samples in there. Well, you know, Heritage did sell the Armstrong collection. The family sold a lot of his memorabilia, and that was all stuff that he had. And I know that there were some things that were questioned by NASA that it should have been. That it's just like actors on a movie set. It's like, what? Wait, they never should have taken that home. And they said, well, okay, there were certain things that yes, they sold and they could do that. But it's interesting that the U.S. Marshals doing a liquidation sale, probably a bankruptcy or something that somebody had in their house, this attorney buys it, and rightfully so. And even though NASA says you have to return it, there was a willing buyer, willing seller, and it was a transaction that was conducted by the government.
Yeah, that's right.
that is ironic, isn't it?
Yes.
So now,
I mean, if they were going to stop it, that would have been the time to stop it right then. Pull it, you know, that they, you know, working for the government, you know, you do have a little bit of clout.
Well, and here's the big thing is that when vials of dust go for $1 million, look out for moon dust being sold on QVC or on eBay. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
All right. Before we go, if families could sell items from the Oscars 20 years from now, the Oscar that Will Smith won would fetch a huge amount of money. Don't you think that the circumstances that happened there make that Oscar statue even, I mean, puts it right to the top of the list?
Yeah, yep. All I can say is that it's a good thing that the Academy has this. They've had this policy, because if this ever did come out to the open market, wow, that would be a sight to behold. I mean, I would like to watch that auction, but fortunately it's not going to happen. So, you know,
well, Tim, what would happen, Tim, if they took the Academy votes to take the statue away from him, then all of a sudden that statue becomes even more valuable.
And that's part of the whole thing, is that, you know, all of that goes into it, they have to be they're very careful. And I think it was smart on Will Smith's part to just resign and to just say, okay, let's just quash this, and maybe that will help both sides. But it would. I mean, every little thing you do now with this thing is going to make it plus and more desirable. So God forbid somebody steal it or something, because it would be one of those trophies that people would be talking about, say, oh, this is the slap heard around the world, and the Oscar that goes along with it.
I know. Just stop and think. Here we are. Everybody has wondered, well, how is this going to affect me, my everyday life? This has been in our lives, and it has consumed everything. Since it's happened,
I have to say Venus Williams has to thank Will Smith, because she had a wardrobe malfunction that nobody's talking about, and everybody's talking about the slap. So she should be thankful for that.
Well, I'm sorry, but I am talking about it, because I pointed it out when it happened. I was shocked.
I know. We both were. It's like, whoa. So you know what? You get a little, you give a little. It's like, it's one of those things, but it will definitely be something that is talked about. And as Greg pointed out, yes, the Oscars or the Academy has a program in place that basically the award is for you, but it's owned by the Academy. And if the individual dies, it can get passed down, but it can never be sold. It could be at the Academy can purchase it back for like $1 or $10, something like that. And it's been in place since, I think, 1940 is when they put that in place. So it's only anything pre-1940. But, you know, I mean, It's one of those things that everybody will remember who the best actor was.
Yes. Where were you that day? Where I can remember exactly where I was.
I was sleeping. Okay, guys, we'll speak to you guys next week. Have a good week and have a fun at the dentist this morning, Tim.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Take care, guys.
Bye, Marshall.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, a frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You can find them at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Appraise This with the appraisal guys.